Morning, everyone, and welcome to the program. It's 11:08 almost. It is Thursday, the 9th of July, and we're talking sport on the DRS. 0800 825 577 5009. The text and the Facebook page is open. Radio Sport/Devlin Radio Show. We have issues, and yes, we need to talk.
Mackay takeover.
That's my best Jamie Mackay. Oh, what do we have to talk about? We don't have to talk about that, do we? And then we talk about that, and then we're going to talk about that. Graham Beasley joins the Sports Freak out of Wellington. Graham.
Good morning. How are
we? We're not mentioning that.
No.
How could it possibly be a good morning where you are? Apparently it's cold. Apparently there's some weather.
I woke up to snow on the balcony this morning.
You're Jan Karori.
Fantastic, yeah.
No way.
Yeah, good dumping. And apparently there's been one since as well.
1995 at Snowden Courtney Place. I remember because I left Cats at halftime, the worst ever show ever in the history of shows, and it was snowing in Courtney Place.
Each night, not a sound on the pavement.
Yeah?
Something like that, isn't it?
Andrew Saville joins us. Sav, good morning.
Martin, how are you?
Look, it's cold in Auckland this morning.
Hold on a minute. I'm just in at Rebel Sport at the moment. How much are those hurricanes in New South Wales, Judy?
The day that happens, so that all of a sudden you have to poke at me. the biggest supporter of the Auckland Blues in John Kerwin, and you're giving it to me.
Excuse me. Why is it that every sports team you've pinned your crest to, and on that crest is a photo of a sports fan choking? How come every team you've pinned your crest to has fallen over?
Look, I tell you what, I can't wait for the NFL in 78 days of my Redskins, Andrew.
Don't, from this day on, in the next 80, 90, 100 days, don't you dare even mention the All Blacks in the Rugby World Cup.
I won't. No. It's out of bounds.
We need to talk.
Let's talk first about that, though, Graham. McCaw and Carter, pencil them both in, rub it out and pen it both in. That's number 10 and 7 locked in for the World Cup, isn't it?
Well, you would think so. It's interesting. I watched the second half of the game yesterday at a local pub, and you had about sort of half the group in the pub who were just really enjoying the match and enjoying the hits and all that sort of stuff. And then there was this other half of people at the back of the pub going on about how they were concerned about the forward pack wasn't looking good. What does Woodcock do these days? And they were worried about Carter. You know, well, his goal kicking was good, but, you know, he didn't bring much else, did he?
Well, he set it up for Moala, I thought. I thought he kept a reasonable control on the game, didn't he, Andrew?
Yeah, I thought, McCaw got absolutely hammered on several occasions, as did a lot of other players, but he kept hammering the Samoans as well, Richie McCaw. It was a great performance. And I thought Dan Carter played very well. I think, let's not forget, with this game, 14 out of the 15 starting players were Blues and Crusaders. Most haven't played for a month. A fair chunk of them, Piatau, Kano, Woodcock, haven't played for 2 months.
Yeah, good point.
And let's also give the Samoans some credit, because they smashed them in every ruck of 80 minutes.
Yeah. And seemed to get better in the second half too, I thought, Graham. I thought that it took them a little while to get going some. I thought a little while to believe that they could actually have a chance in this game.
Well, they were probably a bit rusty too. And I totally agree about the point that these players haven't played for a while. They did struggle in the backs, I thought, the All Blacks. But they had, you know, two of the best back lines in the world weren't available for them.
Yeah, true. Yeah, and look at that back line.
I mean, I think also there was a lot of shuffling sideways of the ball in that All Black back line. I think they were looking out the corner of their eye.
Yeah.
At the Samoan defenders. Also, Martin, I think the happiest bloke today would have to be Steve Hansen. Number one, no major injury.
Yep.
Secondly, let's not forget they're facing the Pumas forward pack next week in Christchurch. And in 2 weeks' time, they're up against the Springboks in Johannesburg. What better preparation for players who just haven't played a lot of bruising top-class rugby in the last month or two?
Yeah, look, we thought that, and I said that to Josh Kronfeld, Graham, and he said, look, he was just pleased that he wasn't playing that game. But, you know, we need these kind of games before we go to the World Cup. It's as simple as that. You have to play rugged physical rugby, don't you?
Totally agree. And what a fantastic occasion it was.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just everything about it, the build-up beforehand, and I really hope that this becomes a sort of a semi-regular fixture. And to Fiji and Tonga as well.
Andrew, can we give some big ups to the union as well? I know that they don't get much praise out of this. We talked to Steve Chu this morning. I thought that the rugby unions handled themselves really well through this.
Yeah, I mean, clearly there was pressure on them to make sure this match happened.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
to their credit, they agreed to it. They put it in what is a really congested calendar. And that's why I don't think it can happen year upon year. They obviously, I would imagine, paid for a lot of their own expenses.
Oh, he did. He said he said they covered all their own costs, yeah.
Yeah, so to make sure, and through their sponsors like Air New Zealand as well, but to make sure Samoa did receive some takings and money money out of this out of this match. I hope, Mark, that World Rugby or IRB, whatever they call themselves these days in Dublin, have looked at this game and thought, you know what? Rugby is not all about making millions out of gate takings. Let's make sure a tier one nation, one of the Six Nations sides, one of the Sanzar sides, at least every year makes a trip to the islands.
Yeah, look, it's the point of difference, Graham. I keep saying this. To me, the Pacific Islands is the point of difference of international rugby, isn't it?
Well, the thing is, just quickly, Mark, the thing is, when is the IRB going to stop being infatuated with America and trying to get rugby into Germany and Belgium and Liechtenstein and realising that in the Pacific Islands, it is the number one sport. These nations live for rugby. Let's make sure the top teams go there.
Yeah, hear, hear. And Graham, just finally on that, I also think, look, Steve Chiarelli was, what he was trying to say is that they've left some, I don't know what the word was, Hayden, it wasn't capital, they've left some legacy, I think is the word he used behind. What he was actually adhering to is what Andrew says there, simply that they cover all our own costs so that they get some pennies is what they get. And hopefully, knowing that the administrative, or the way that the Samoan Rugby Union administer things, it'll all go to the right people.
I think they're sorting their business out on that front, Martin.
Well, let's hope so. Yeah, let's hope so. All right then, Origin, Graham, and just go on.
We need to talk.
What is it? We do need to talk about Origin.
Yeah, we do, don't we? You know, the most keenly anticipated sporting event ever in the whole world. And, you know, everyone was behind it, and oh, it's only 53 minutes to go before we kick off, so let's have another flashback. Yeah, we didn't really turn up last night, did we?
We didn't, and Phil Gould saying at the beginning there, Andrew, this is what makes me sick. This is the elite. This is the best of the best. No, it's not. The best of the best smacked your butt three times, mate.
Yeah, that's right. And I thought that was the reason why that first game in State of Origin failed to sell out quickly, is because I think what we're missing were players like Martin Tapau and Sean Johnson and a lot of those Kiwi guys who have really impressed Australian Rugby League followers. But the crowd did go to State of Origin last night as well. Obviously for Kiwi fans, New Zealand League fans, there is something missing, and that's Kiwi players. But that's never going to change. No one picked this result. This was just staggering.
I want to play a couple of cuts from Graham Lowe, who we spoke to earlier, and he's apparently dancing around the tulip beds at his farm somewhere up in Copper. He's wearing the pink G-string I gave him after last night, which he tore off me, and he said he's going for a nude swim soon. He's so happy. Have a listen.
I mean, this is the legend of Origin. This is what it does. He pulled the right string. Mel pulled the right string. He made the right choice. And I saw Laurie on the news saying he didn't see it coming. Well, mate, he should have read Laurie should have read the blinking Daily Telegraph for the last 18 months, because they've all been showing a lack of humility and a lack of humbleness. And that's what they had coming to them last night.
Graham, this is the point I wanted to bring up. You see, because with Laurie, people talk about, does Mel coach Origin? You know, I'm not talking about the technical side of it. I'm talking about going into that dressing room and being able to bring something out of those players. And that's what Graham was adhering to too.
Yeah, and to completely fire them up. That's an interesting call from Graham Lowe, though, because I'm not sure that Queensland isn't known for humility either.
Well, they're certainly not known for their tolerance of racism, Graham.
No, that's right. Yeah. Have we gone to Dawn for a comment on it?
Who is the fish and chip shop owner? Pauline.
That's the one from Rotorua.
That's right, yeah. Andrew, but what is it, though? I mean, you know, there's something that is other than tactics or whatever or playing ability in a game like that last night, isn't there?
It's history. It's history, isn't it? It's the fact that Queensland got walloped for 40, 50 years before the new State of Origin rules came in, 1980? It's Arthur Beetson. It's Billy Moore and Queenslander. It's so many players that have worn that jersey and traditionally have always been underdogs. And I think Queenslanders still see themselves as underdogs against the big brothers from Sydney and New South Wales. It clearly, no matter what New South Wales say and their coaches say and players say, I think it means a lot more to Queenslanders and Origin players, doesn't it, to wear that maroon?
Well, I think, Graham, it goes without saying, doesn't it, after last night?
Yeah, I completely agree. And it is funny, and Andrew's right, that they probably do see themselves as underdogs still. And what, they won 9 of the last 10 or something now? And 8 of the last 9 or something like that? I mean, you know, it's a very hard place to go and win playing in Brisbane. So.
Can I draw the parallels then, Andrew? Because a lot of these players were written off and are too old and everything else. Do they have one more game left in them? Is this the same kind of stuff we're hearing about a lot of our All Blacks going into the World Cup?
Could be. And I, excuse me, I think the current management of the All Blacks do use history a lot, and I'm sure that will be you know, on the table when they head to the UK in a couple of months. And it's sort, you know, players do observe what things are broadcast about them and written about them. Yeah, that could fire them up in the end in London.
Tell you what, Luke Romano, that was a hell of a shiner, wasn't it, Graham?
It was
like us Hurricanes fans got one of those, didn't we?
Yeah, very much so.
All right, one more to go, ladies and gentlemen.
We need to talk.
And that is, Graham, at least when you're watching the Ashes, you thanked Brendan and the Black Caps for reinventing Test cricket, didn't you?
And the new brand of Test cricket.
That's it.
I'll tell you what the highlight was last night, though. Joe Root.
Yeah.
The ball dropped by Haddon.
Wasn't it?
And on to get 137. Yeah. Fantastic. It was a gettable catch, too.
I think that's WG Grace looking down on Haddon and going, my son, that's cricket karma, pal.
Oh, look, and I tell you what, Grace was clean too, wasn't he, eh? The ball never touched, the barrel never came off, sir, he said.
I'm not walking there.
That's right. No, but it is, Andrew. I mean, Brad Haddon's the bad boy. And look, and this is what happens in sport. I mean, it bites your bum as quick as, doesn't it? He at what, 43 for 4, they were in massive trouble. They were all out for probably, what, Hoggy said 150?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, Root, and that's really set Root up for the series now, too. You know, to go ahead and get 130 off in the first innings of a 5-2 series like that, he can just sort of grow from the confidence, which he's got a lot of anyway, to be fair. And he's set up to, you know, potentially dominate the series. And, it was good cricket.
I hope one of the Black Caps tweeted overnight, hashtag karma or hashtag, what, Martin? Hashtag...
Great Root.
No.
Oh, sorry.
About Haddon. hashtag, that's the way we play. Hashtag.
Because we are winners.
You just blew a Great Root. I mean, you know what I'm saying.
I've got no idea.
No, look, just dig the hole and dig it deeper is all I'm saying.
Hey, Martin, can I just say before you hang up on me, great to meet Graham face-to-face for the Super Rugby final last Saturday. Although I must apologise, they brought the samosas and the sausage rolls out pre-game and I was a little bit preoccupied and they may have spat a bit of pastry on Graham's suit.
This is Graham in the media box just enjoying the absolute luxury that it does. Furnish upon.
I'm impressed by how much Andrew's plate could hold. and the way he was able to keep it upright with all that.
Well, I'll tell you what, you want to know why? This is the reason that they've had to redo the whole TVNZ building. This is increasing the cafeteria base.
He saw me in full flight, and I think the word San Diego Zoo were muttered at some
stage. I will learn from that, though, Andrew. That's good. I was very impressed with it.
Great.
The thing with the media food is all the gloves are off.
Oh, they tell you what, mate. You know, and if the little nuggety blokes like Wynn Grey were always the worst because they'd be under your elbow, wouldn't they?
Yeah. Or they use a different tactic of they then engage you in conversation about who's going to win the game.
Oh, yeah.
Trust to pour out to grab 4 or 5 sausage rolls all at once, and all of a sudden you're distracted, you don't want to be rude. You've got to go in hard and direct and early.
And
there's no, as the Hurricanes know, Martin, there's no going back.
There's no second prize when it comes to the buffet.
Yeah. People thought the Super Rugby final was keenly contested, but it was nothing on what was going on next to the food table.
Thank you both very much. Graham Beasley, Sports Freak website out of Wellington. Andrew Saville.